The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jackie Marino for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Nutrition News. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Selling Health? Six Gimmicks to Watch Out For by Lindsay Moyer. Healthy foods sound simple. Vegetables, fruits, nuts, whole grains, plant protein, no added sugar. But when companies use them as marketing ploys for processed foods, watch out. Starch crackers. From the ground up leans on squash, the first ingredient, to sell its sea salt butternut squash crackers. But then come whole grain rice, cassava, and nutrient-poor potato starch, rice flour, potato flakes, and cassava starch. Sheesh. Eating more veggies should mean actual veggies. Crackers, chips, or other snacks don't cut it. No sugar sham. Welcome to the sweet life without sugar, says Applegate Natural's no sugar uncured bacon. The catch? Ordinary bacon has at most 1 gram of added sugar per serving. Cutting that to zero might make bacon approved for the trendy Whole 30 diet, but for anyone else, it's a nothing burger. Bacon's real problem, uncured or not, it's a processed meat like sausages, hot dogs, and cold cuts. So it's linked to a higher risk of colorectal cancer. And that's not so sweet. The Grams Game. Dave's Killer Bread Organic Boomin' Berry Bagels are always power-packed with whole grains, says the package, which trumpets the 13-gram whole grains per bagel. Don't kid yourself. A Thomas's 100% whole wheat bagel has a whopping 48 grams of whole grains, and it's no bigger. Why does Dave's fall short? Its leading ingredient is organic wheat flour, not organic whole wheat flour. The second ingredient, which means there's less of it. And then not exactly a boom of berries are sweetened, so you get 2 teaspoons of added sugar in each bagel. Not just nut butter. Trader Joe's almond butter almonds sound healthy, but the almond butter coating has more dry milk, added sugar, 5 grams per serving, and palm kernel oils than real almond butter. That explains how you wind up with 4 grams of saturated fat in every 1 ounce instead of 1 gram in plain almonds. Tip, if a coating stays solid at room temperature, it's likely made with a saturated fat. Plant ploy. The 16 grams of protein in a Lenny and Larry's peanut butter chocolate chip, the complete cookie, come from plant-based proteins, touts the label. That's mostly a protein blend of wheat, pea, and rice proteins, plus peanut butter and peanuts. Fine. But the rest of each 440-calorie cookie is loaded with white flour, chocolate chips, processed fiber or inulin, added sugar, 4 teaspoons, and palm oil. When health experts recommend eating more plant proteins, they're talking about foods like nutrient-rich beans, lentils, tofu, and tempeh, not oversized cookies spiked with protein. Smoothie moves. Does a Bolthouse Farms mixed berry parfait breakfast smoothie come close to a parfait of berries, plain yogurt, and granola with intact whole grains? Nope. Fruit? Instead of chewing on whole berries that fill you up, you're slurping pureed. How much? The label doesn't say, but most of the smoothie sugar is added, a hefty 7.5 teaspoons. It doesn't come from fruit. Want a delicious way to get more fruit in your diet? How about just eating some? Whole grains? Bolthouse tosses in just 8 or so grams of whole grain rice plus oat flours. Fiber? Neither the fruit nor grains are enough to supply the smoothie's 14 grams. Turns out Bolthouse tosses in processed fiber from dextrin. Ditto for some of the 21 minerals and vitamins per bottle. Real food, anyone? Hold the booze. Some top zero-proof drinks. Cutting empty calories? Pregnant? Stocking up for dry January? Don't drink. We've got good news. The latest crop of non-alcoholic drinks tastes as good or better than the real thing. The bad news? They cost as much or more than the real thing. Here's a sampling. None top 50 calories or 2 teaspoons of sugar per can. Head to each brand's website to see prices or find stores. For teetotalers, Hoplark practically invented the hoppy, fizzy, calorie-free category of non-alcoholic drinks. The company's Hop Tea, tea brewed like craft beer, is sparkling tea brewed with the citrusy hop flowers that give craft beers their character. Think Mosaic hops in the green tea one, Simcoe and Citra in the really hoppy one, black tea, etc. For fruity and tangy, go with the Mile High Hibiscus 1 hibiscus tea. Go dry. Quality non-alcoholic wine. Yes, that's a thing, says Sovi, a maker of alcohol-removed wine. Many non-alcoholic wines are sweet. They taste more grape juicy, less winey. An 8-ounce serving of Free Red Blend, for example, has 11 grams or 2.5 teaspoons of sugar plus 70 calories. But an 8-ounce can of Sovi Red Blend comes with a mere half teaspoon of sugar and only 25 calories. And it just might fool your palate into thinking you're sipping the real thing. Ditto for Sovi Sparkling White or Sparkling Rosé. Another good bet? Surely. Soft seltzer. Hard seltzer, meat hops. Think of Daypak as a non-alcoholic, less sweet take on fruity can of White Claw, minus the claws, 100 empty calories. Flavors? Choose from black cherry, blood orange mango, and lime and lime. Tip, Daypak is made by Athletic, so head to athleticbrewing.com to buy it. Bitterly good. Gia, G-H-I-A, is a non-alcoholic aperitif with a taste that's reminiscent of bitter spirits like Aperol and Campari. That lends a pleasantly complex bite to the company's Le Spritz cocktails, which come in Gia soda, Gia ginger, and lime and salt. It's actually low in sodium. The 8-ounce cans have 40 to 50 calories and no more than 2 teaspoons of sugar from juice. Or, for a sugar-free bitter drink, try Hella Cocktail Company Bitters and Soda in classic dry aromatic, grapefruit, ginger turmeric, or lemon lime. Craft near beer. Athletic Brewing Company says it was the first brewery fully devoted to the production of non-alcoholic craft beer in the U.S. It shows. Even though the new Athletic Light, 25 calories, clocks in well below an alcoholic beverage like Bud Light, 110 calories, Athletic nails the flavor. Two other non-alcoholic upstarts with plenty of low-cal beers that taste great, Partake Brewing and Surreal Brewing Company. Sparkling hops. Not the right time for a beer, but got a hop craving? Asked craft brewer Sierra Nevada. Drench it with Hop Splash, our sparkling water infused with Citra and Amarillo hops. While you're at it, check out similar zero-calorie hop waters like Lagunitas Hoppy Refresher and the many hop varieties of Hoplark Sparkling Water. All are subtly hoppy. Want more? Head for the stronger double-dry hopped Hoplark 0.0 line. And now a recipe from the healthy cook, Kate Sherwood. Top it off. This fish comes with a delightful 1-2 punch. Panko, a Japanese breadcrumb with a spiky shape, makes for the crunchiest of toppings, and the pecans lend a surprisingly bitter richness. Crunchy pecan tilapia. Ingredients: 2 tilapia fillets, 2 tablespoons mayonnaise, 1 teaspoon Dijon mustard, 1 teaspoon zest, 2 teaspoons juice plus wedges from 1 lemon. 1 teaspoon capers, minced, 2 tablespoons chopped pecans or almonds, 2 tablespoons panko, preferably whole wheat, a few sprigs flat-leaf parsley. Preheat the oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Blot the fillets dry with a paper towel and lay them on a lined-rimmed baking pan. In a small bowl, whisk together the mayonnaise, mustard, lemon zest, lemon juice, and capers. Spoon the mixture over the fish. Sprinkle with the pecans and panko. Bake until the fish flakes easily with a fork, about 5 to 7 minutes. Check the fish at 4 minutes. If the nuts or panko are browned but the fish hasn't finished cooking, reduce the oven temperature to 325. Top with the parsley. Serve with lemon wedges. Serves too. Food find. Oatmeat? Soy, almond, coconut. Wherever the plant milks go, the plant creamers aren't far behind. Say hello, oats. Even if you're a dairy devotee, a splash of Califia Farms unsweetened oat creamer deserves a shot in your coffee. The perks? Oh, so creamy. It's got that rich, creamy texture and pleasantly nutty taste that put oat milk on the map. No added sugar. With its top-notch taste, we didn't even miss the unsweetened missing sugar. Prefer just a little sweetness? Try Califia Vanilla or Hazelnut Oat Creamer. Each tablespoon has just 2 grams or half a teaspoon of sugar. Most flavored creamers from brands like Coffee Mate, Natural Bliss, Chobani, and Silk have twice that much. Tip: for a flavored unsweetened creamer, try Nut Pods Oat Cinnamon Swirl or French Vanilla. No dairy fat. Califia's oat creamers get their richness from the healthy fats in sunflower oil, not from cream. So instead of the 1 gram of saturated fat in a tablespoon of half and half, you get sip. Again, that sets Califia apart. Many plant creamers tack on sat fat from coconut cream or oil. International Delight's liquid sugar and oil creamers get theirs from palm oil. And if your coffee is, say, 16 ounces, the size of a Starbucks grande, the sat fat can add up. Stir some bliss into your day with our velvety smooth unsweetened oat creamer, says Califia's bottle. We'll drink to that. Dish of the month, savory roasted sweets. Toss 2 pounds sliced sweet potatoes, orange or purple or both, with 2 tablespoons olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon smoked paprika, 1/2 teaspoon cumin, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. Roast on a lined pan at 425 degrees Fahrenheit until tender, 20 to 30 minutes. Serves 6. Food fail. Gone to the dogs. Bird dogs feature a hand-breaded chicken tender within a toasted split-top brioche bun, piled high with an array of sauces and toppings, said Buffalo Wild Wings in a June press release. You can choose honey barbecue, heaped high with fries, ranch, and barbecue sauce, buffalo, ranch slaw, and buffalo sauce, or loaded, beer cheese, honey mustard. Each meal size order has 2 dogs plus a side of fries. Hot dog. Take the honey barbecue. How could you not love 1,580 calories, roughly 20 grams a day's worth of saturated fat, 3,610 milligrams, a 1.5 day supply of sodium, and 42 grams or 10 teaspoons of sugar, most of it probably added. It's like eating 2 McDonald's cheeseburgers plus 20 chicken McNuggets slathered with 2 packets of barbecue sauce. The loaded at 1,440 calories and buffalo at 1,340 meals aren't far behind. How does chicken rack up a full day's saturated fat? The chain deep fries it in beef shortening. Ditto for the fries, so even a side has 4.5 grams of sat fat. Buffalo Wild Wings is always looking for unique ways to surprise guests, said its chief marketing officer in the release. A surprise, indeed. The Path of Most Resistance, 7 Reasons to Strengthen Your Muscles, by Caitlin Dow. It's no secret that moving your body helps keep it healthy. But if you're like most people, you walk right by the dumbbells as you head to the treadmill at the gym. In fact, evidence is mounting that muscles are more than just for show. Here's why it's time to add some push-ups, planks, and squats to your fitness routine. 1. Your muscles ain't what they were in your 20s. There's a use-it-or-lose-it principle with muscles, says Brad Schoenfield, professor of exercise science at Lehman College in New York. That's true at any age, but the process speeds up as the years go by. There's an age-related loss of muscle mass that occurs at about 0.5% per year, starting in our 30s, Schoenfield explains. Then it accelerates once you get into your 50s. By the time you're 70, you may have lost 40%, if not more, of your muscle mass, says Gary Hunter, professor emeritus in the Department of Nutrition Sciences at the University of Alabama in Birmingham. And it's not just muscle mass. The composition of the muscle looks dramatically different in an older versus a younger person, notes Mark Peterson, associate professor of physical medicine and rehabilitation at the University of Michigan. The muscle fibers get smaller, the muscle is less able to contract, and it gets infiltrated with fat. The bad news, you'll lose some muscle even if you've been training all your life. The better news, you can build appreciable muscle at any age, says Schoenfeld. A 70-year-old who strength trains seriously can have more muscle than their 20-year-old sedentary self. Two, muscle strength is not the same as muscle size. Even more critical than the loss of muscle with age is the loss of strength. Muscle size and strength are obviously highly correlated, says Peterson. Muscle strength is dependent on the size of the muscle, but also on how the nervous system interacts with the muscle. Strength training boosts both. Interestingly, the strength adaptations that take place in the first couple of months of strength training are primarily neuromuscular, Peterson explains. That's why you may notice yourself getting stronger, even if your muscles don't look bigger, when you first start. When you don't use your muscles, they become weaker, both from a nervous system standpoint and at the muscle level, says Peterson. But the loss of muscle happens much more slowly than the nervous system deconditioning. That's why people lose strength 2 to 5 times faster than they lose muscle mass as they age. 3. Strength can keep you self-sufficient. If you don't preserve strength, it's harder for you to ambulate, to move your body through space, or to walk upstairs or stand up from a chair, says Peterson. The beauty of doing strength training is that it improves balance and gait and your ability to squat down and pick up a box from Amazon. You're not going to get that from doing repetitive aerobic exercise like walking or biking. I don't want to oversell strength training over aerobic, Peterson adds. Aerobic exercise is critical for cardiovascular and cognitive health. I'm a firm believer in daily aerobic exercise, but it shouldn't come at the cost of strength training. What's more, strength training can make gardening, cleaning the house, walking the dog, or riding a bike easier. In our studies, in which we have older people do strength training, says Hunter, we find that not only do strength and muscle mass increase, but people also increase their participation in physical activity. And that leads to other benefits. You become more economical at movement, says Hunter. As you move more, you'll have a lower heart rate and breathe easier, and that translates into more ease and enjoyment of activity. So strength training has several impacts on your likelihood of being active. 4. Flex for fewer falls. Strength training can help people avoid falls and fractures, says Schoenfeld. Roughly 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men over age 50 will have a fracture due to osteoporosis in their lifetime. Once someone falls and breaks a hip, they become completely immobile until it heals, says Peterson. An older adult who has suffered a hip fracture is 3 to 4 times more likely to die within a year than an older adult who hasn't. And aerobic training is not going to do much for preventing falls and fractures, says Schoenfeld. You need to increase your strength and power, which is your ability to apply strength over a short period of time, like catching yourself if you start to fall. And that's done through strength training. To minimize your fall risk, try activities that improve not just your strength, but your balance and coordination. Some good options, Tai Chi, yoga, dancing, or even hiking. Unlike walking on a treadmill or sidewalk, hiking strengthens your ankles, challenges your balance, and helps build muscle as you move up and down over the terrain. 5. Work your muscles to lower your blood sugar. Muscle is more than just for movement. One of the biggest things that is lost on people is that muscle is metabolically active, says Peterson. Muscle is the largest organ in the body, Hunter points out, and it stores and consumes more glucose or blood sugar than any other tissue. It's essentially a giant sink for glucose. Landmark clinical trials in patients with type 2 diabetes have shown that strength training, or even without aerobic exercise, can improve blood sugar, says Peterson. For example, researchers randomly assigned 251 Canadian adults with type 2 diabetes to do aerobic training, strength training, both, or nothing for 22 weeks. Strength training by itself lowered hemoglobin A1C, a long-term measure of blood sugar, compared to those who did neither. So did aerobic exercise. But those who did both strength and aerobic training fared the best. Their drop in hemoglobin A1C was twice as great as those who did only one. That may be because they were twice as active. And in a study of 88 people with overweight and obesity, but not diabetes, insulin sensitivity, or the ability of the body's insulin to move sugar out of the blood and into the cells, improved in those who did 3 days of strength training and walked 12 miles a week at a brisk pace for 8 months. 6. Pumping iron may help you live longer. We wanted to know if weightlifting alone or in combination with aerobic exercise influences one's risk of early death, says Jess Gorzlitz, assistant professor of health and human physiology at the University of Iowa. So we asked a group of roughly 100,000 older adults about their lifestyle, and then we followed them for about 10 years. Those who hit the U.S. physical guidelines for aerobic activity, 150 minutes of moderate or 75 minutes of vigorous activity a week, were nearly a third less likely to die over those 10 years. That's no surprise, since aerobic activity improves cardiovascular fitness and is linked to a lower risk of several cancers. But we also found that weightlifting, independent of aerobic activity, was linked to a 10 to 20% lower risk of dying, says Gorzlitz. Want the most bang for your buck? Get your heart and your muscles pumping. Those who weightlifted 1 to 2 times per week and met the guidelines for aerobic activity had a 41% lower risk of dying over a decade, says Gorzlitz. Not interested in pumping iron? That's not your only option. In a recent study that followed roughly 416,000 people for up to 18 years, those who did muscle strengthening had an 11% lower risk of dying. Some of them used weights, but others stressed their muscles with resistance bands or even their own body weight, like with push-ups, lunges, or squats. Why might strengthening your muscles keep you alive longer? We don't know for sure, says Gorzlitz. Presumably, our participants were working hard enough to build lean muscle mass and strength, and that helps maintain function and independence and lowers the risk of debilitating falls. Socializing may have also helped. Most people who weightlift are probably going to a gym, said Gorzlitz. Maybe that reduced their isolation, which is linked to an increased risk of mortality. Gorzlitz and Peterson's studies can't prove that being stronger helps lengthen your life or makes you biologically younger. Illness or something else about inactive people could explain their shorter lifespan. Even so, there's no downside to toning your muscles. 7. The world is your strength training oyster. Not sure where to start on your muscle building journey? If you're familiar with correct technique, your best bet is to work with a qualified personal trainer until you get comfortable, says Schoenfeld. The most important thing at the beginning is doing enough repetitions, he adds. It's a matter of getting the movement patterns ingrained in your subconscious, and that requires repetition. To prevent injury, start with lighter weights. Pick a weight where you can do at least 10, but not more than 15 repetitions, says Schoenfeld, and then do 2 or 3 sets of 10 to 15 reps. Once you've gotten the hang of it, push yourself by bumping up the weight to get stronger. The physical activity guidelines recommend that adults train all the major muscle groups at least twice a week. It can be challenging to hit all the muscle groups in one session, Schoenfeld points out, so you may need to do some muscle strengthening 3 or 4 days a week. But don't let that dissuade you from starting. One of our most consistent findings is that while more is better, some is better than none, says Gorzlitz. The worst group to be in is the one that does no activity. If time is an issue, says Schoenfeld, you can see very good results with a 30-minute session of strength training twice a week. Or you can try small bouts, strength snacks, if you will, throughout the day. That hasn't been researched, Gonfeld admits, but assuming you're putting in as much effort as you would like if you did it all at once, I can think of no reason why that wouldn't work. More good news. Whether you like to do fewer reps with heavier weights or more reps with lighter weights, you can build muscle mass and strength. The results are virtually identical for muscle mass, says Schoenfeld. That's assuming that in both cases you challenge the muscles, putting in a level of effort that approaches what is called muscle failure. That's when you just can't lift the weight even one more time. But you'll build more strength with heavier loads. You can make good strength gains with lighter loads, says Schoenfeld, albeit not quite as much as with the heavier loads. Got muscle soreness? Don't worry. It's an indicator that you challenge the muscles in a novel fashion, Schoenfeld explains, but soreness is certainly not a prerequisite for getting results. If your muscles do get sore, don't give up. Soreness typically subsides after a few weeks of strength training. Still waiting for relief? Try lightening your load or adding more rest days. And whatever route you take to build muscle, don't let it get boring. Try Pilates, lift weights, use resistance bands, join a gym, or work out at home using an app or online videos. Or try a boot camp class or other group fitness class that combines aerobic and strength training moves. You've got options. We've run out of time for today's episode of Nutrition News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jackie Marino, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Nutrition News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.